Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Barbara P. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 35, the third paragraph. We told him what we knew of alcoholism, reading just that one paragraph and ending with, he would lose his family for whom he had a deep affection. Today's readers are Shelley E. on the 12 Steps, Kate F. on the 12 Traditions, Lou Ann C. will be reading our opening text, and Chanel T. will be reading our closing text. We also have our newcomer greeter, Devorah S., and doing announcements will be Robin P. The reference numbers for yesterday, May 4th, 10 a.m. meeting, is 23-428, and May 5th, our 7 a.m. meeting this morning, 23-432. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. So, Shelley E., would you read our steps for us?
Good morning. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service, my pass.
Thanks so much, Shelley E. Kate F., would you come in and read our 12 traditions?
Thank you, Barbara. Good morning. This is Kate F. from Washington State. Our 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Really, thanks so much, Kate F. So how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we're resuming our study of the Big Book. We are on page 35, the third paragraph, beginning with, we told him what we knew of alcoholism, and ending just with that one paragraph, he would lose his family for whom he had a deep affection. I'll ask Lou Ann C. to get us started.
Good morning, Barbara. Thank you for leading us today. Hey, everybody. I'm Lou Ann C. I am recovered today and on my feet in Boise, Idaho, by the grace of God, let me tell you. We told him what we knew of alcoholism and the answer we had found. He made a beginning. His family was reassembled, and he began to work as a salesman for the business he had lost through drinking. All went well for a time, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. To his consternation, he found himself drunk half a dozen times in rapid succession. On each of these occasions, we worked with him, reviewing carefully what had happened. He agreed he was a real alcoholic and in a serious condition. He knew he faced another trip to the asylum if he kept on. Moreover, he would lose his family for whom he had deep affection. Wow, this paragraph in detail so tracks my experience. I had made a beginning. I stopped binging. I lost the weight. I was beginning to learn how to live a life of usefulness. And all went well for a time. But where it says he failed to enlarge his spiritual life, in my case, I had a limited conception of what that spiritual life was, and it needed to expand, but I couldn't see what needed to get larger or how to enlarge it. And it did happen that I picked up. I love that he was in the disease 6 times and each time he went over what happened, because even after I got a new sponsor, after I picked up and reworked the steps and had a new abstinence, there were still some disease ideas that I wasn't getting, and I slipped and fell, and we had to address these blind spots until I could settle into the idea that I was a real compulsive overeater and I am in a serious condition. That at times I'm willing to throw the dice on my recovered life because of an old idea that runs parallel to my new thinking.
Luann, we just lost you. Just dropped off.
Oh,
there we go. You're back.
Oh, can you hear me? Okay, good.
Yeah, we can.
Well, I did have this friend who had polio when I was growing up, but she showed up every day to school and she was so happy to be there. But in order to do that, every morning she had to put on 2 full leg braces and use 2 crutches to be able to move around. And I'm reminded here that I have to put on the braces of this work every day to keep this life for which I have deep affection. And in the end, the only thing that matters is that I stay on the path, that I stay in the rooms, because I'm just trying to get closer to my higher power. And the closer I get, the less room there is for ego, and more old behaviors have to fall away. God, it's a humbling path, but I still wouldn't trade it, because it's the real life worth living. And I'm so grateful to be here this morning, and just thank you, everybody, for helping me, and thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Luann C. from Idaho, for getting us started. So now we'll go ahead with our members sharing, and although we value your experience, we just ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience, too. So who would like to share? I'll go ahead and take a list of names, and we'll have time for 3-minute shares.
Margot B.
Margot.
Devorah S.
Devorah, got you.
Savannah G.
Savannah.
K of Iowa.
K of Iowa.
Ian F.
Ian, got you. But S.
Joan Marie M.
Okay, so far I've heard Margot B, Devorah S, Savannah G, K from Iowa, Ian S or F, not sure, Joan Marie M. So let's go ahead and get started. And if everybody, and we'll have plenty of time for me to take another list of names. If everyone can hit star 1, so we have a nice quiet line, except for Margot B.
Hi, Margot B. from New York. Thank you, everybody. Compulsive overeater. Thank you, everybody, for their service. So, a real compulsive overeater. I had no idea. For me, it was just about diet, binge. What's my body doing? What clothes do I want to wear? What event? What non-event? Whatever. It was only through the rooms that I learned that I had a diseased mind. My solution is food, whether I'm feeling sad, happy, whatever, raining, not raining. Food was always a solution for me because depend or if food is coming up because I am a compulsive over.
Can't hear anything. Are we there, still there? Did I lose you?
Yeah, the speaker disappeared. But
can't hear anything either.
Barbara, are you there or no? Barbara P?
I guess we can simply move on.
Hang on.
I think that we'll go
yes,
on
okay.
to
everybody,
who was next. Was it Savannah?
No, everybody got muted. This is Barbara P. Can I be heard?
Okay. Yes, you're heard now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So thank you. Thank you for somebody for pitching in. So it sounds like Margot may have gotten muted as well and may have dropped off. So I'll swing back on. But Devorah is next. And then we'll go to Savannah G. So sorry, everybody, about the blip. Don't know what happened there. Devorah, and I will come back. Margo, if you can, if you are on and can hear, I'll come back and check in on you to see if you want to finish your share.
Hi, good morning, Devorah? Everyone. Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
I can. You sound great.
Great. Okay, great. So good morning, everyone. My name is Devorah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you, Barbara, for being here and everyone on this line that makes this meeting possible. I'm so grateful. So a couple of things stand out to me in this paragraph. He made a beginning. I, too, made a beginning in this program. For me, coming in, I came in 1999, and I guess what my beginning was, I just went to meetings and I identified in with the people who were there. Really wasn't doing much, but I was going just to meetings, and then it morphed into, you know, going to another meeting where we talked about a lot of the rules and following the rules and weighing and measuring and not eating no matter what. And I did that. That was another beginning I did. And it was a little bit spiritual. I mean, I asked God in the morning for an abstinent day, and I thanked him at night for an abstinent night, that, you know, an abstinent day. But, you know, I look back now and I see how, you know, that was this is a process for me. He failed to enlarge his spiritual condition. You know, that's something that I look back now and I say, oh, like when I go to the gym and I was exercising on the bicycle, I would do that and say, oh, great, I'm really in great shape. And then I started another class. I started doing yoga. And I'd say, why am I feeling so tight? I'm exercising every day. I go to the gym. Like, how come I'm feeling things that I've never felt before? So, you know, like this program too, for me, this was like, it was a process. Like I had to like learn and do and experience different things to see what is going to bring me more closer to God and to the spiritual, to have that spiritual connection. And of course, working the steps in order as it's given in the book, that I finally joined and I got a sponsor who went through the steps with me. And I continually doing that, sponsoring, living in 10, 11, and 12 every single day. Yes, that brings me close. That brings me to my Creator. That brings me, makes me a relationship with a higher power. And in addition, it's like I'm constantly looking to see how more I can grow. And, you know, people talk about gratitude. Yes, I'm so grateful. The first thing in the morning, I say, thank you, God, for giving me back my soul, my being, so I could be of service to you. And I go through all the gratitudes. I can get up by myself. I can take care of myself. My organs are working. My lungs are working. I can breathe on my own. I'm not hooked up to machines. My family is safe and protected. You know, there's so much gratitude. Whereas before it was like very superficial, but now I'm really seeing the godliness of the gifts that I have, like how it's so beautiful. And I take the quiet time and, you know, and I meditate and I just think of ways how I could just, you know, have God in my life each day. You know, every opportunity something comes my way, it's another opportunity for me to give of myself and to be close to God. And like I said, it's a process. I don't arrive. You know, we grow together. And so grateful for these opportunities, so grateful that I've been given this gift of program where I get to do these things. And I'm really grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks so much, Devorah S. Let me put a call out to Margo to see if she is back on the line. Okay. And then if not, let's go to Savannah G. And Savannah, you'll be followed by Kay.
Good morning. My name is Savannah G. from Pennsylvania. Thank you for your service today. And I just want to share that for a long time, I didn't understand what enlarging your spiritual tent meant because I was too busy recovering probably in the area that I wanted most, which is the weight loss, of course, and doing just enough programs to stay abstinent. So, you know, I didn't understand enlarging your spiritual tent. And I honestly probably already thought I was doing that by some of the things I was already doing. You know, like a little bit of devotions here, an outreach call there, but not really establishing, true friendships and fellowship with other recovered compulsive overeaters. And so now it's different for me now, after, of course, a couple relapses. I see that as a vital part of my recovery. And I have to tell you, this morning when I was in my, upon awakening, something that I used to rush through, maybe give it 5 minutes, maybe 10 to make myself feel better. You know, I spent a whole hour, with the upon awakening and really understanding what it is, every line, really digesting it and wearing it and, and acting on it too. So my calls today are different. They're of more quality. They're more sincere. It's not about getting it done. And, and honestly, is that part of enlarging my spiritual tent? I don't know, but it feels better than when I wasn't, that wasn't my focus. And when it was just about the weight loss and a little bit of recovery, I was getting by with that. But it took some relapses for me to get to really understanding that I have to stay out of myself. I have to let go of the selfishness to a bigger degree in order to enlarge that spiritual tent. I can't be in the center and also enlarging my spiritual tent at the same time. It doesn't work. So anyway, I'm grateful for this program and for your service today, all who make this meeting happen, and I'm going to pass with that.
Well, thanks so much, Savannah G. from Pennsylvania. So Kay from Ohio, and before you start, Kay, let me just remind everybody, we're on page 35, the third paragraph. We told them what we knew of alcoholism and just reading that one paragraph. Okay, go right ahead. And please give us your last initial, the first initial of your last name.
This is K.S. in Iowa. So that's S as in serenity. So I was reading this paragraph and I thought, this is really, it's like one thing to read about alcoholism or, food, compulsive eating. It is another to live it. It's a knowing. And I think one of the things that I have come to realize is, this thing of relapse is just, it was common in the alcohol, and it is even more common, I believe, in the food, because it is not a black or white thing. You don't just give it up. You really have to figure out a lot of stuff and pay attention. It's pretty, pretty intense stuff. And then, of course, the big thing is that it's a spiritual program, not us that will do the heavy lifting. It is us staying spiritually fit to allow the miracle to sort of happen inside of us, so, or in our lives. And I just really loved this paragraph because I've been coming a long time. I've been in that space where it was just complete neutrality. I just did what I was supposed to do and everything went fine. And then taking that for granted and going back, and then just a long struggle back. And so it is a serious condition. I am grateful that for you, for all the people who do service and share, because I really think it is listening to everyone that I have really come to grips with how this is a struggle. But the thing is what I find that I think is interesting is when you're really doing it right, it's not really a struggle. And that part of, it's like you got to have the struggle to get there, to, at least for me, to convince myself, oh, I do have a serious condition. Oh, there's a reason I have a food plan. Oh, there's a reason I reach out and I stay spiritually fit in my attitude and my thinking and all that good stuff. So it's a tough deal, but thank God there's a solution. And I might not have, you know, the power to change it, but I do have the power to persevere and to stick around long enough to get the miracle and know that this is completely human. And I know I make progress every time, even if I, you know, like so many have said, I really came in because of the whole physical weight deal. But it really, what you start to understand is there's a way more important thing happening here. And I'm just glad to be a part of it, no matter how humble that may look. That's all I got. Thanks.
I think we're having a little bit of a glitch, but I heard Kay, and ENF is up next if you'd like to go. ENF from Indiana. Can I be heard?
Well, hi. This is ENF
from
Indiana. I'm really grateful to be here. Something that's rattling around my brain as I hear these shares. It's so cool to hear you guys sharing about the thing that is also messing with me, but this phrase, seeing it fail to enlarge your spiritual life, I've often misconstrued over the years as he failed to enlarge his spiritual practice. And what I mean by that is that I have this, I guess, like OA Wonder Boy syndrome is the phrase that I've used, which is that if only I work my program hard enough, if I make enough calls, if I sponsor enough people, if I do enough service, then I'll have peace, then I'll have serenity. And, you know, sometimes people call that a vending machine God, and that is in the right spirit. Like, it's because I don't want to go out, and I care about this program really deeply. But the problem is that when I get so worried about, am I doing enough for OA? Am I making the right amount of calls? Am I helping enough people? Are people recovering because of me? All this stuff. Like, that's still all me. And when I've had actual serenity, somebody else mentioned this, like, this program and the book literally says this. It's not me fighting anything or anyone. Not even the food. You know, there are some really simple, clear-cut directions about when I need to be reaching out, how to reach out to folks, how to do this work. But it's been my experience that when I'm freaking out about whether I'm doing enough, and I'm like, I'm usually in that misguided place of thinking of it as a, I do this for you, God, you give me serenity. And that's not how it works. You know, I worked these, I came in really desperate. This disease almost killed me. I worked these steps, made them my first priority. And now the thing is, I get to continue leaning on the God that helped me get here. And I trust that I'm safe and protected because I do the work. And that doesn't look like me grinding. It looks like me, I mean, them doing with the, notice how they're not like, well, what did you do? We're going to drill him. We're going to lecture him. They're like, well, tell me what happened. It's so much more quiet and simple than I thought that it would be, and it involves so much less struggle. And, you know, I'm hearing that in the shares, and I really appreciate hearing that. And that's all I got. Love you guys. All the best.
Thanks so much, ENS. And sorry about the technical glitches. I called back in. This is Barbara P., so hopefully we'll have that fixed. Joan Marie M., you are up next. And then we'll be taking another list of names. Joan Marie. Joan Marie, star one.
Well, I was talking away, as usual, what happened.
Oh, there you go. We can hear you now.
Thank you. Okay, what stood out is that he made a beginning. And that's when he realized that he was a real alcoholic and in serious condition. And also what stood out is he all went well for a while, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. So I'm going to go to some pages, and it says on this page that it means, of course, we are going to talk about God. And then on the next page I'm on is that the ABCs. We have to admit, I have to admit, it says we have to admit we're alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. And that possibly no human power could have removed our compulsive overeating. That God could and would if he were sought. And also, it's also in another page, it says, it is easy to let up on our spiritual program of action, and we are headed for trouble. And then it says that we have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our affairs. How can I best serve you? Thy will be done, not mine. And then the last one is, because for me it starts in my thinking, and I forget about my thinking. So it says we ask God to direct our thinking, and then especially to be divorced from self-pity. Oh, that's a big one for me. Dishonesty and self-seeking motives. Our thought life, I love this right here. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong behaviors. So the book really is, you know, it's an instruction book. It's our solution. I love this big book and this program. And the more I read it, the more I love it, because it's a new way of living, a new way of thinking, a new way of action. I have to say to God, not only about my thinking, but change my attitude. Sometimes my attitude can be little, you know. Yeah, so anyway, I think I'm done. Thank you so much for allowing me to share and for all your shares, because they sure helped me. I'll pass. Well,
thanks, Marie M. Thanks for your share. So we'll take another list of names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share? Great paragraph.
Aya P. in New Jersey. Shanna C.
Shanna.
Shanna,
S-H.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Thanks.
Kate F.
Sure. Kate,
Mary. Mary Frances in Pennsylvania.
Gotcha, Mary Frances. So far I've heard Ivy, Shanna C, Kate F, and Mary Frances. Anyone else want to join that list? We should have time, perhaps. Actually, let's stop there, and then I'll swing back. Hi, Pete.
Jordan,
go ahead. Okay, Jordan, I'll pop you on the list and see how our time runs. Hiya, go right ahead.
Thanks so much. Hi, everybody. My name is Hiya P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, a bulimic and restrictor. I live in New Jersey, although I'm currently in Philadelphia walking my six-day-old grandchild, granddaughter. And so nice to be able to be on this meeting this morning. And I want to welcome anyone who's new to the meeting, new to this particular Overeaters Anonymous meeting. It's called The Vision for You, or maybe you're new to Overeaters Anonymous and just want to welcome you. There really are miracles here. I really love this paragraph and I like the discussion. You know, it says he made a beginning, and I like metaphors. That's how my brain works. And one of the metaphors, or I would say the metaphor that works the best for me, that I have found to be the most helpful in understanding what the problem is and what the solution is I equate this to like type 1 diabetes. Like type 1 diabetes, you were born this way, your pancreas doesn't make insulin, that's just the way it is, there's nothing you could do about it except treat it with insulin. And I feel like this is spirit. Type 2 is about lifestyle and, you know, and all that is something that you can actually, you know, reverse and get rid of. Type 1, this is the way you are. So I feel like I, type 1 spiritual diabetes, I have the disease of compulsive eater along with a few other nice little extras with this, with bulimia and restricting and all of that. But that's the, whether it manifested later in life or it manifested earlier in life, it doesn't matter. For me, it was very early. Some people, it doesn't manifest until later. Bottom line is, the only thing I can do is take insulin, and that insulin is step 12. So if we make a beginning, we may take step 1, step 2, step 3, even 4, 5, maybe even 6 and 7. But that's not the full dose. That's not the insulin. That gets us to the insulin, but it doesn't. It's not the insulin. The insulin is step 12. It's practicing these principles in my affairs, honesty, dignity, integrity, and a bunch of others, and helping others to recover, passing on the message. That is the inoculation. But the only way that I can do step 12 is if I don't just make a beginning, but I do the whole process, steps 1 through 9, which place me in a position to be clear. And then step 10 allows that 1 through 9 on a daily, sometimes several times daily basis. Step 11 improves this conscious contact with a higher power. Don't worry, this is not a religious program. It's a spiritual one, finding some spirituality. Thank you. So that I can do step 12, which is the insulin. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much. Kaya P. in New Jersey, and congratulations. Shanna C., Tennessee, come on in, and you'll be followed by Kate F.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. I'll keep my share really brief. I'm riding in the car going on vacation with the family that I've been so blessed to be reunited with. Years ago, I nearly lost it. I nearly lost it all as a result of this disease and all the spiritual malady that comes with this game and having no solution. And I got to tell you, perfecting and enlarging my spiritual life, one of the things that really helps me with that is praying the set-aside prayer. Is God, please set aside everything I think I know about everything and everyone I think I know, because I'm in constant need for new experience. Because I'm just that kind of person where the new wears off really quick. And sometimes that new experience is consistency. And I get the opportunity today to go on a vacation and remain abstinent and to sober and see what I can do to bring to and be a blessing to, as opposed to what I can get. And if that's not a transformation for someone like me, I absolutely do not know it is. And I got to tell you what happened this morning. The spiritual experiences that come as a result of working these steps. You know, I went to bed after doing my nightly review and, you know, connecting with God in prayer. And then I woke up this morning knowing that I'm going to be traveling, and God, you know, how am I going to, you know, reach out? How can I bless people? What does my recovery look like according to your will today? And, you know, I'm praying, and then my son comes and taps me on the shoulder while I'm praying, you know, and I'm not like biting his head off for interrupting me, you know, stuff like that. And then I get a text from someone, literally on the other side of the world, 12 hours ahead of me. Hey, can we talk this morning? You know, I get an opportunity to get on the phone. God automatically gives me somebody I can connect with, you know, to carry a message to and connect with, you know, and it's just such a beautiful thing. She was a gift to me. She wasn't a burden. You know, how am I going to manage this? It was God's gift to me as a result of step 11 and that willingness. And like someone had said earlier, this doesn't, if I'm really connected to the God of my understanding, I understand that there's so much more to life than just me abstaining and lighting a clean, whatever, although it was like that for a while. that I really do have value, that this stuff really works and there is a real connection to be made to God and to real people. You know, and my dark past can become the greatest asset. You know, it becomes like I want to help. How can I help? And all my affairs, you know, this kind of thing, and the food, and this is a byproduct of all of that. It's just such a gift. Anyway, I'm grateful to be here. Thank you for your service this morning. And I'm going to hang up. And thanks again. That's it.
So much, Shanna C. from Tennessee. Kate F., you're up, and you'll be followed by Mary Frances.
Thank you, Barbara. Good morning, all. This is Kate F., recovered compulsive overeater from Washington State. Wow, this paragraph is such, for me, gives me direction on the beautiful depiction of the fits and starts of step one. So the fits and starts of step one is thinking I have powerlessness, making this beginning, thinking I've got my life getting back in order, reestablishing my footing, what I think is my footing, and then losing it again, and then agreeing again. And all the while, the beautiful scenario of the fellowship at that time and that this book was written, and also in my life, of people who stick in there with me, of sharing the answers they found so that I can have more questions and develop more answers myself with continuing more questions, and that they're willing to stick with me when I falter on that step one again, and when I try to understand what I'm doing wrong, to my consternation, each and every time I'm bewildered as if, why aren't I getting it this time? So this step one paragraph for me is just a reminder of a continual daily revisiting my powerlessness, and under that, continually enlarging my spiritual life so that I come to this powerlessness with a depth of vulnerability and humility and openness to be ever closer to my higher power. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thanks so much, Kate F. Mary Frances from Pennsylvania. And Jordan, I think we will have time, so stand by. You'll be next. Mary Frances, go right ahead.
Thank you. Hi, this is Mary Frances W., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. And I am literally shaking inside this morning with this paragraph and, you know, all the paragraphs. As someone said, this book is just, you know, the book. And I came back to Vision in November 2025, and prior to that, you know, I was in and out of the rooms of OA since 1983. And yes, I realized during those times that I failed to enlarge my spiritual life, but I also realized that I was never able to admit to my innermost self that I'm a real compulsive overeater. And with the inability to admit that, you know, I would always go out there and say, oh, I can try this. It didn't hurt me last time, or whatever the disease's lie was saying to me. And I fell for it all those times. And I got to say, by the grace of God, since November and a great start with a wonderful sponsor, I have this foundation, and God has blessed me with entire abstinence and neutrality with the food. And I also believe that in times past, when I got to this place, I did take it for granted. I did rest on my laurels. I didn't improve my spiritual life. And therefore, you know, Miss OA here had a fall, and it was often a very big fall, and would get back into the shame and guilt, and I'm not good enough, and I can't even, you know, speak at a meeting, or whatever the lie would be. And I'm just so grateful that the people on this line share their recovery and they also share their pain. And the people that share their pain really help me keep me remembering that, yeah, this disease is just waiting for me to be vulnerable and get me. And with God's help, and this meeting has meant so much to my recovered life, I, you know, can take this day, which is something else I never did, this one day, and be grateful for the gift of neutrality around food, having relationships with people on this line, improved relationships with my family, which is a tremendous gift. And I guess with all that, the last sentence, moreover, he would lose family for whom he had deep affection. I've just made amends to my family, and I am so grateful and will do what I can to protect those relationships. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Mary Frances. So are you. And Jordanelle, come on in, and you've got about 2.5 minutes.
Hey, good morning. My name is Jordanelle. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. It took me a long time to really appreciate more about alcoholism, but I have really come to appreciate this chapter. We're talking about like the states of mind that lead to drinking, lead back into drinking, right? Or in our case, compulsive overeating. And here's Jim, and he's made a beginning, but can't seem to stop getting drunk, you know? And what it makes me think of is the delineation between the heavy drinker or the heavy compulsive or the heavy eater and the real alcoholic or the real compulsive overeater. Here's Jim. He's a pretty good guy. He's got plenty of reason to stay sober, and he knows it too. You know, like he's an intelligent guy, friendly, and he knows it. He knows that he should and needs to stay sober. He's probably lost his automobile agency and all of that, right? He's got every reason to stay sober, yet he continues to get drunk. And that's kind of where the delineation starts, you know? I had every reason as a compulsive overeater to stay abstinent. And I knew that after a time, you know? Maybe not when I first came to OA. It took a little while to convince me that I needed to stay abstinent. But eventually I got there and yet found I couldn't, you know? Like, that's kind of the point. That's kind of why I'm here. I found that I could not do this on my own. And then the other thing I was thinking about too, because we're talking about like enlarging our spiritual life, I was thinking about in Bill's story where it talks about work and self-sacrifice for others. And that's how it is that we do it. That's how we enlarge our spiritual life. And it's not always about doing more. I only have so much time. So it gets to a point where I can't, but that's okay. I'll wrap up where I can't necessarily do more. But I need to focus on the quality of what I'm doing, you know? And that relationship that I have with God, with the God of my understanding. So I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thanks, Jordan. So we'll now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Chanel T. please read our closing?
Yes, thank you for your service, Barbara. Hi, I'm Chanel T. Don't be fooled by the gravelly voice. I'm a grateful compulsive eater living in recovery today by the grace of God. Page 164, a book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until